Some of you out there might not know that I got my business started in real estate. So anytime we have a company in here that works in the real estate space, I not only do I appreciate the conversation, but I also feel like I bring sort of a certain amount of empathy for those operating in that space. For me particularly, I was working with strip malls and finding, well, in my particular case, it was nuisance properties within strip malls, but trying to find places that we could build all kinds of cool things that Walgreens wants to pay for 100 years and then some. And to say it's a challenge is maybe, I don't even know how to start. Like, we're lucky with Walgreens in the fact that they always had their own sort of template for what it looked like. But for many businesses, what, no matter what you're doing, understanding before you build this building or build out this space, what exactly you're dealing with is a very, 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 very costly and time-consuming process. And so, naturally, in the smart world that we now live in, paraffin exists, and it sort of makes that not only just maybe easier, cheaper, less time and time-intensive. So I decided to sit down with Adam and Brian from Paraffin and learn a little bit about what would have saved me a ton of money and a ton of time about a decade ago. Without further ado, let me welcome Adam and Brian from Paraffin. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
Thank you.
So, co-founders.
Yes.
Do you guys, how do you make decisions? You just flip a coin, arm wrestle?
We both get into a room until there's an answer, and we don't leave the room until, you know.
It doesn't seem to work well in the courtrooms, but I mean, you know what, I guess at that point, one of you ends up being like, one eats the other, right? Someone's going to win
this
battle.
We have knowledge in different areas that help complement the whole team.
That probably helps everybody around. So before we get into sort of more of that paradigm and more of applications and how to build a company like this, why don't you guys give a much better version of what Paraffin does?
Sure. Yeah. Basically, Paraffin designs like an architect and thinks like a developer using algorithmic processes in the cloud.
Literally and figuratively.
Literally, yeah. And so I'm the developer, he's the architect. We bring our backgrounds together and put it on, you know, hypercharged.
I feel like computers. Your company should be the face of IIT. I don't know where the hell you guys went.
I did a master's at IIT.
There you go. Yeah. That makes sense. Because seriously, because I mean, that's like what they do, right? Architecture, development, tech, right. IP. It's perfect. Yeah. So walk through a little bit about how Paraffin engages its customers' clients.
So a real estate developer would go on Paraffin's website, you know, if they've identified a site they wanted to look at. It would use Paraffin, input the site-specific information, the size, dimensions of the site, whatever zoning information they have, as well as, you know, if they wanted to build a hotel, they need to put in some revenue assumptions, such as ADR and occupancy. You need some construction cost assumptions. Those get input by the developer. And then you need some criteria by which you assess one design versus another. So once you've input those things, you let Paraffin start running, and within minutes it generates millions of designs, each tied with a financial model. So once those millions of designs have come out, you can sort those designs whether by financial performance or by program, you know, by number of hotel rooms or different parameters. And then look at each of those design configurations and look at the financial model for each of those design configurations.
Very cool. Can you provide a little insight on, like, for example, a developer usually would spend X dollars in time on one side versus working with Paraffin, for example?
Yeah, well, it varies from developer to developer.
I mean, you can even set it and say, like, let's say they wanted to build, I don't know, a co-working space.
Yeah, I guess
that might not be the best example.
I never built a co-working space myself.
Something you've built.
So, well, the things I've built have been rather large, so the numbers have been, you know, in the hundreds of thousands.
Trump Tower. Ballpark.
But, you know, on the average project, we're finding the opportunity cost, which is the fact that a developer has to pull team off of existing projects, and the fact that usually, in most cases, he gets stuck with the bill from the architect. You know, on average, it's, you know, $30,000. It could be anywhere from $10,000 to several hundred thousand dollars sure. on any particular real estate development site. And that's because, you know, you end up pulling your team off of projects for weeks or months. You spend a lot of time going back with architects. Architects, you know, can spend dozens to hundreds of hours on early schematic design work, you know, and in the end of the day, you might not even get the project.
Yeah.
You know, because you have to have the best bid or you have to win the deal.
This is how Adam and I met. We did this back and forth on projects together.
Oh, nice. So I remember the days for us when we were trying to do development deals, and it was like we'd sit there in the accounting office being like, who do I want to pound more? Is it the lawyers or is it the architects on this deal? But like, you know, like I guess you'd say you need them both, but like yeah. it is important. And you made up a great point. You know, we have worked with, obviously we work with Jones Lang LaSalle, but we also work with CBRE for a Legends event, and they're rebuilding or pitching to build to the city this huge place on 600 West Chicago. And I mean, the amount of money spent, now granted, it's almost a $1 billion plus project, hundreds of thousands of dollars between them and Riverside Investment Development, just trying to put together a plan that the city would, you know, assuming that you greased the wheels and you paid payola to all the right people, you might have a chance to actually win the bid.
Right.
So I totally see the value for somebody who is, let's say, maybe not building quite as big of a project. And I mean, I feel like when you're building huge projects, you'll just grasp at any opportunity to save some money and time. Right. For those that are waffling on whether or not there should be a more automated process to this versus, say, just continuing to do things as is, what's your pitch to them of like what you guys bring and I put it this way, what could you be doing with your time rather than this?
Well, you know, some developers have responded, well, I do all of this in my head.
Yeah.
Well, that's... You know,
we're
a unique special talent. Yeah. We may be not the best customer for paraffin.
I'm that guy.
You can do 10 million on your own, right? In your brain, 10 million versions.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but not nearly as complex. Right, we're talking about strip mall, but like I did have like the general idea of what I knew my clients were going to want, and I knew what I had access to, right? And I was like, here's several variations. I probably would be easy for you guys to like pull out the pieces from. But I think there are a lot of old school developers, particularly in real estate, that are as old and stodgy as it gets, who just simply, you know, they almost think that they're going to have to do more work to get involved with a tech solution. And I just love to have you guys kind of dispel that.
Yeah, I think we talk about some of our biggest competitors are inertia. It's the old way of doing things. And we found that to be the case with some of the guys and girls who like to do it their own way. And, you know, we can't fight that. That's an uphill battle. But where our product actually does really well is urban markets, very dense urban markets where it's competitive. There may be 10, you know, 5 or 10 developers going after one site. Whoever gets their bid in first is going to win, right? And if it's the right and good numbers. But this can quickly and very quickly identify, you know, the numbers that they can hit, the numbers they can hit, what they can bill, what it should be, and very much faster than the competition, you know, ascertain if they should move forward on site acquisition. So as Adam went through that whole process of that back and forth, this is a test fit product, you know, to test fit the viability of a site in minutes rather than the weeks that it takes, which is silly. It shouldn't take that long.
No, it's a very good point. And so I want to segue away from just like what Paraffin does, but also now to like building a company. You guys brought up already about the fact that you kind of complement each other and come from different backgrounds. It blows my mind how many founders launch with like two people from one side and no one on the other side. And yet at the same time, there's oftentimes a struggle when the founders are coming from different positions. Like, it's a huge value in some hands. And then in other times, it's like, can't relate to you, you know, who's more valuable, who's more important. How do you guys manage understanding, like, this is my area of expertise, respect it, I got to make a decision here, and it helps grow the company and grow the culture? Because I think sometimes, I personally am a huge fan of having co-founders that are diverse. But I also recognize that it can be a major challenge to overcome, especially if the company really grows, because then it sort of comes like, well, I got this side of the table and you got this one. How do you guys manage that other than just locking in the room? Like, just the overall splitting of church and state, so to speak.
Yeah, why don't you answer from your perspective?
We'll find out.
I think at the core,
Brian will respond based on you. I'm already getting to see the picture. I'm just kidding.
At the core, there's a shared vision. We both see the world. You know, we see a future where paraffin fits into that future. Brian brings expertise that I never had, and I learned to respect his expertise, and vice versa. You know, he didn't know, you know, the first thing about financial modeling before we started teaming up. And, you know, I have insight into how the real estate development world works, and he has insight into how architecture works. So I think, you know, there's just a mutual respect between the two of us on how that is. So I think I defer to him when it comes to design things and everything involving the design technology. And he tends to defer to me if it involves real estate or financial modeling, whatever it may be.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I'd say 99% of architects don't understand what real estate developers go through early on in the process. They're just there to, you know, get the job and hopefully make a building and something, you know, maybe an award afterwards. But to really get into his mind really opened my eyes to, wow, there's a much bigger field that we're not tapping into by having these two silos almost come together, which is not an industry standard at all.
Yeah. I always take this opportunity to harp on this to anyone who's listening, because I think it's very important. I mean, I look at the space that you're in, Brian, and it's creative. It's about creativity. And even on the tech side of things, a lot of using the word maybe inappropriately, or I guess not, just confusing, architecture in your terms and architecture in technology terms, I think are a lot about UX and a lot about creation and about creating a space that people can
experience,
correct? And the other side of things that I see is that there's the sales, there's the understanding, there's the business modeling, there's a whole bunch of stuff. And a lot of times the creatives will say, sales guy's replaceable, finance guy's replaceable, we can find a million of them, and vice versa. Oh, we can always find creatives. What I think is the most important, and Adam, you kind of brought this up, is the value of finding somebody who you have, Brian, the understanding and ability to build and erect this building.
How to put it together.
You, Adam, have the understanding of how to sell that building to a developer, how to sell what they're looking for so that he can do a better job.
Yeah.
And I think that's the biggest thing that a lot of companies and founders, especially early stage, fail at, is that they don't, especially if they have no background, which you guys obviously have background on this individually before any of this, but the majority who come out of college and they jump right into something, they just do not understand that, one of my producers, Sam, always brings up, is the fact that it's like you're speaking a different language. When you're in a business meeting, you're seeing this person talk, you're speaking a different language than everybody else, and you're the person who's going to transcribe that so that he understands what to make this look like.
Yeah, our three team members, we have about 40 years of industry experience between us, all three of us. So it's, you know, you have to practice architecture to understand architecture. You have to practice real estate development to understand real estate development. So you really just can't take software engineers and try to come up with a solution like this. That's why it does not exist yet.
So on that note, I mean, as you guys start to grow and scale this company, what do you think, based on what we all know about the business now, what do you think are the, everything is important, but what do you think are the key areas for growth for you? Like what kind of hires do you guys need to look for? What are the opportunities that are out there for the community?
Well, a lot of the hiring we'll be doing is on the technology side. You know, obviously full stack developers, we're very Python centric. On the financial side and on the modeling side. And then there's a interesting niche of tech people that come from the architecture background. And Brian happens to be one of the unique people who actually created a computational design studio within an architecture firm. So, you know, we're going after
huge
those
advantage.
unique type of people that are very rare in the world that can build software but also build buildings.
Yeah, very cool.
So maybe Brian can talk
No,
about
I think that's
that
right.
More,
it's a small subset of people, but you know, we joke sometimes. People say, "Well, how are you three guys building this stuff? Our other teammate's not here, Ryan, but he's the tech brains behind this. But he's an architect as well, and a pretty good one. But you know, they'll ask us, "How are three of you building this without you? Where's your tech stack? Where is everything?" It's like we did it all, and I guess it's just interesting that a lot of architects have the knowledge or brain power to do it, just like engineers can do, you know, a lot of coding and stuff. It's dormant. You know, they don't know that they can do those things. It's very similar to
how I see, I can absolutely see the alignment in that space in particular. Yep. Where do people go who want to learn more about working with you guys? Where, like, what would you say, not just the website, but like, what would you say would be the first steps for anyone who wants to start maybe taking more of a tech approach to development?
Ooh, development. Would that, do you think, on the design side?
Any side. If I was, if you're just trying to market to anybody.
Yeah, I would look at, I mean, if you're interested in tech and architecture, AEC, architecture, engineering, construction, I'd look at some of the big firms that are implementing that kind of stuff. So, you know, HKS, Architects, SOM, they all have small studios inside of them that use or custom build technology to drive some of the biggest projects, like HKS with LA Rams and Vikings. They did all those big stadiums with, you know, custom tools they've had to build in-house. So a lot of these firms build these things. So that, from the architect's side, that's it's pretty neat looking at some of these big firms and what they're capable of. You just may never know that technology exists.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
It's a fascinating like world of technology that I've, you know, come across or, you know, explored through, you know, the Paravan team. And what they're calling it is generative design. And it's basically parametric modeling linked up with algorithms. And there's some very interesting algorithmic processes. It's genetic algorithms, which mimic the processes in nature to basically optimize buildings with these algorithms. So it's interesting to explore these types of technologies and see how those design technologies will be used in the future of the world.
Very cool. Where do people go to do business with you?
So we're at parafin3d.com, P-A-R-A-F-I-N, just one F. Not the wax.
Yeah, but if you found the wax, you've gone too far. I can only imagine. Brian, Adam, thank you guys so much for taking the time coming in and sharing sort of the journey of Paravan. I hope that you guys come back as you continue to grow and scale. And next time I talk to you, there's, you know, 20 or 30 of you guys working at the company. It would be awesome.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Of course, you can catch this episode of More at technori.com. Download the Technori podcast on iTunes. Stay connected by following us on Facebook and Twitter at Technori, or you can follow me at Katoon. Boom. That's a wrap.
Wait a minute, wait a turn minute. On the radio. Turn on the radio. My homie got a new show and it's time to play it, though. Play it, I hope you got in tune. Got he in talking tune. Bigger business. Talking bigger he make business. A lot of moves. Lot of he moves. Talking Scott Katoon. I'm saying, wait a minute, wait turn, a minute. On turn on the radio. My homie got a new show and it's time to play it, though. Play it, I hope though. You got in tune. Right. He talking bigger business. Talking big he make business. A lot of moves. Lot of he talking Scott Katoon.